This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 17th, 2008. I'm Caleb Brown. A power-sharing deal in Zimbabwe means a weaker regime for Robert Mugabe, but does it mean an improved economy, greater recognition of private property, and an end to 11% annual inflation? Marion Tupi, a policy analyst at the Cato Institute's Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity, offers his analysis.
According to the power-sharing agreement that was signed last Thursday, Robert Mugabe will remain as the head of state, he will remain as president, and he will remain in charge of the army, while at the same time naming the ambassadors and presiding over the cabinet. Morgan Tsvangirai becomes a prime minister. He presides over what is called a council of ministers, and he will be in charge of the army. The important thing is that for the first time, there will be more cabinet ministers for the opposition than for the ruling ZANU-PF. So in this council of ministers that Morgan Tsvangirai will preside over, and that will run Zimbabwe on a day-to-day basis, he will have a majority and therefore the ability to push through whatever reform proposals he might have and then have them approved by a majority in the lower house of parliament. So these are the outlines of the agreement. How it will work in practice or whether it will work in practice is unclear.
Is this a defeat for Robert Mugabe?
It is certainly a climb down for Robert Mugabe. It is not a clear victory for Tsvangirai, and that is for a variety of reasons. I think that Tsvangirai didn't want a deal where he was nominally in charge but couldn't really affect change, and therefore he was going to be blamed for whatever wrong happened in Zimbabwe. So he got the executive power to undertake change. At the same time, I think that he was trying to wait as long as possible, because obviously the worse the economy was getting, the more he was going to get out of Mugabe, who was really beginning to be desperate for a deal. At the same time, Tsvangirai couldn't wait forever because there is continued political violence in the country. And also, there comes a point at which obviously the economy is in such a bad shape that, you know, by waiting, you are really undermining yourself. So there were pressures really on both Mugabe and Tsvangirai to reach a deal, which they finally did. Mugabe is clearly a man with less power than he was before, but Tsvangirai is not in a position of having as much power as he may have wanted.
What does this do to the prospects of enhancing the protection of property rights and liberalization in Zimbabwe?
I think that what we are going to see in a very short term is going to be the appointment of the government, and we'll obviously have to wait and see who the ministers are, and we'll know more about the general direction of the country and its economic policies depending on whom Morgan Tsvangirai chooses as his Minister of Economics and so on. But I think that the government will be well advised to tackle the question of hyperinflation immediately. That can be done realistically by having a currency board or dollarizing the economy. The economy is already largely dollarized, and so that shouldn't be very difficult. And that is going to be the first step. Reconstituting private property rights and the rule of law is obviously a long-term project, and it will take more time. But I think it would be wise to start with hyperinflation and then move on to other areas of the economy which have been compromised by the past decade of misrule. Western powers have made it very clear that they will only deal with and help government that is run by Morgan Tsvangirai. And so in that sense, you might say that because he won the lower house elections, his party won the lower house elections, he was seen as the legitimate ruler of the country or a legitimate head of the country. But I think that much more on Mugabe's mind was the deteriorating economy and the fact that he wants to pass the baton for economic responsibility onto somebody else. Now, the government will function for 18 months before it has to produce a constitution, new constitution. And although it can work, it has a constitutional mandate to work for up to 5 years, I think that after the next 18 months, we are likely to see a fresh election, which will then result in a complete annihilation of Mugabe and the ZANU-PF. We are really, it's really going to be the next 18 months. I don't expect drastic changes to happen, but I do expect a new constitution that will then pave way for free and fair elections that will give us a better sense of where the Zimbabwean people really are in terms of their political loyalties.
Marian Tupi is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity. You can read more of his work on Zimbabwe at cato.org.